On page Kuf Lamed in the top numbers, we're at the beginning of a parenthesis just below the halfway part. First one in the line is Tzimtzum Harishon. In the English, it begins a paragraph that starts with a 39. Okay, so the Alter Rebbe is comparing the difference between Histalshus Iluva Alul and Briya Shma'ayim. At this point, that he brought down this idea that the Lamed Kalim of Malchus of Atzilus, the 30 Kalim, become the Nefesh Ruach and Neshama of the creation of Seder Histalshelus, and that the Malachim have Malachim and have Neshamas, and Malachim are a product of Zivug Neshikin, which comes up again later, which that's an external connection between the various creative forces to produce something like a Malach, like an angel. The Af Gamla Achashi Yarda Naranda Tzilus L'Oilam Azel, let's Hadikim Arashayim. Now, even though this Nefesh Ruach Neshama of Atzilus, which that's going to be really manifest as the another name for the 30 Kalim, the 30 vessels, the 30 parts to Malchus, as we said last week, that that godliness came down to the first Tzadikim. That's why it is that those tzaddikim mentioned in Tanakh had things occur to them of, if you pardon the expression, biblical proportion. Okay, you could ask, you know, how come there's no Kriyas Yamsuf, there's no manna falling from heaven, there's, you know, suns are not standing still, all those really big ones. How come it's not happening?
Don't know.
Well, a very simple reason is when little miracles happen, we don't even recognize it.
Yeah, we're not aware.
You know, there's zillions and zillions and zillions of Rebbe stories that where the, you know, and zillions of zillions of Rebbe's stories. Yeah. Lubavitch doesn't hold exclusivity to miracles that the Rebbe made. And in fact, we're kind of latecomers on the block as far as telling stories about Rebbe's. But we explain it like right away, physical. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I actually had something happen to me not that long ago, actually, last week. What previous doctors had told me is that I had an abdominal hernia.
Uh-huh.
That instead of it coming, that was coming out of the top, okay, this big bulge thing, like right in the middle of my stomach muscles over here, just like, you know, just a, okay. Mm-hmm. So I went to the Ohel last week,
mm-hmm.
Last week, and so one of the things I asked for is I'm going to see two specialists, two surgeons, going to compare them notes, see what they say, who's got the best procedure, and requesting a bracha for Refuah Shleima. Okay. So, I go to the first guy, and he checks me out, and he says, you don't have a hernia.
He says, why are you here?
you don't have a hernia. And I said, but what's this? And he's like he's from an old Polish Yiddish family, and he says, oh, that's chulent. So I said, wow. I said, wait a minute. Push on it, it's not doing what it used to do. So now, because I was thinking because he pushed on it a certain way and he's pushing and pulling and prodding, maybe he pushed something back, whatever he did over there. I said, you don't have anything. So, but it didn't come back. If you push it, I was pushing it in too, and it would just pop back out again. So, mm-hmm. But now it's not popping out. Mm, so sure. Maybe this is one of those miracles performed at the oil.
Maybe.
That's okay.
Not, why are you saying maybe?
Okay, so. So that's story. Because I'm saying maybe, that's why we don't get Kriyas Yamsuf.
Yeah, don't say
that's
maybe.
That's why.
Don't say maybe.
That's it, you know. So we don't recognize the small things that happen to us as being miraculous. And so, but now, those people that are mentioned in Tanakh received such miracles because their neshamas were on such a level that they could appreciate such miracles. Because they had, since they were the first, so they got the godliness coming into the neshamas full force. We have this expression, which appears in Gemara, Medrash, maybe Zohar, I'm not sure, and a ton of philosophy books. It's, the expression is Yeridus Hadoros, the descent of the generations, that every generation is basically stupider than the previous generation. So if that, and then Alter Rebbe in Tanya in chapter 2 says, well, you have the souls like Abraham, like the patriarchs and Moshe, that they're like the head compared to the heels of the generation that we're in. So the reason that makes a head ahead is a head has more going on in it than does the foot. So those first, so the, at the onset of the creation, when the world was sort of like in its nascent state, so it was receiving greater amounts of godliness. Just like, for example, if you take a look, an infant in its first year of life is supposed to triple its birth weight.
Sorry,
that's considered...
First month or two, actually.
First year, to triple its birth weight.
Okay.
Okay? So, what would happen if I tripled my birth weight now? If I tripled my weight now, in the course of a year, I would not be able... I would not have to be able to move. That's
right,
correct.
Exactly.
Okay? But, for a little kid... It's that's what's considered normal. And indeed, you look at an infant compared to a child, compared to an adult, an infant's head is a quarter of its body, whereas an adult, it's a seventh. Because at the onset, it needs more to get it up and going. So the creation is similar to that as well. When Hashem first created the world, it was in its infant state. It needed to have bigger heads. It needed to have more because the growth was exponential. That's why in a very short time, you know, we're covering 2,000 years in Chumash.
Yeah.
Because, well, how much does a kid grow in the first 3 years of its life? First 5 years, you know, the kid's already, you know, quadrupled its size, more than quadrupled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's grown 10 times.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so it's the same thing with the creation as well. That's why this is in parentheses, by the way. So it's possible that the neuron, the spark of God, these kalim of godliness, expressions of godliness, didn't change from their original existence to be something separate from godliness. They were so appreciative of godliness, they were connected to the godliness so much because of how much godliness they had. That's why you had a maisa, like for example with Chanoich. Chanoich only need 340 something years because it says Veselikini's Halach Chanoich, that he walked with Hashem, meaning he's just about to go off the derech. And Hashem said, "Nope, we're recalling you now, immediately." The guy could have lived 900 and something years. Oh, he kind of like made the wrong move. Out.
That's strict justice.
Because he could not. It was
mercy,
not a punishment, but
no. It was because he couldn't be separated from Elikus.
Right.
And as soon as there was any instance of being separated from Elikus, it was like,
"You're out of here."
Oh, well, you're going to be totally incorporated with Elikus now.
Right.
Now we talk about the four worlds, but how many worlds are there? We don't know. There's an infinite number of worlds. I mean, even according to the Arizal, who was of the opinion that there's a creation of a something from nothing, but he's going to say, okay, once you got to something, till you get to here, it's an infinite Seder Istalshelus. So, and it says, I think we mentioned this last week, the week before, Yosein Aruch Atzilus Le'or Ein Sof Me'ayim Azel Le'atzilus. Greater is the incomparability between the Chachma of Atzilus, wisdom of the world of emanation, and the infiniteness of Hashem, than this physical world and the wisdom of Atzilus, the wisdom of the world of emanation.
Right.
Because wisdom of Atzilus is still considered part of Olamos. And there is defined. In Atzilus, you have a definition.
Right.
This is an Olam. This is a level of conscious.
Right.
What's happening before Atzilus? Well, we know, okay, so generally talked about before, you have Ak and Nekudim, Nekudim and Verudim, you have the very fancy labels. But within, for example, say Keser, which is called Nekudim, there is an infinite number of levels, which are called infinite number of worlds. The world word world coming from the root of Hela, meaning concealment. So within it, within Keser, before it comes into an internalized fashion, there's infinite levels of divine ratzon, of divine desire. But he wants to say over here, it's not something separate. Why is that not called an olam in the terms of the classification that we give to Atzilus, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah? Is because before Atzilus, it's totally, completely incorporated in within the infiniteness of Hashem. There isn't that concealment. There's some concealment, because it's not totally infinite. It is not Ein Sof. It's not even Or Ein Sof. We give it a definition. We call it Ratzon, which is an attribute. But, looking at ourselves, we can't separate ourselves from our desires.
Right.
You, not to say that you are your desires, but your soul is manifest as desire. That's how we know that you're alive. If you want something, you're alive. If you don't want anything, you're not alive. You've got to have to want something. I'm just saying that to be glib. Sorry. But,
no,
but in the levels of desires, but so I have a more defined levels of desires we talked about last week with the example with the brick in the back of the house.
Mm.
Okay, so you have different levels of want and desire, but they're all an expression of self. When you say, I want, what part of you is the I?
Oh, yeah.
Scientists have been trying to figure that out for millennia. Well, yeah. Scientists, philosophers, when you say I, what does it mean? Okay, that they call it the mind-body problem. Descartes came up with that exclusion, terminology. Okay, when you say I, you're meaning your inner self. There's no one part of you that you say it's not your head, it's not your hippocampus, it's not your heart, it's not your liver.
Some of your parts.
It's who you are that wants. It's your totalness, not your totality. It's your totalness. It's what you are. When you say I want, the I is your you-ness, which that's really ambiguous, but you can't get it anymore. It's a famous story with Alter Rebbe, with the Tzemach Tzedek sitting on his lap when the Tzemach Tzedek was like 3 years old, and he said to him, "Where's Zayd?" And he pointed at his beard, and he said, "No, that's Zayd's beard." And "Where's Zayd?" And he pointed at his chest, and he said, "No, that's Zayd's pupuk." So the kid got off of his lap and turned around and went behind him and said, "Zayd." And the Alter Rebbe turned around and said, "Oh, this is Zeta. That's Zeta." To get the whole essence of.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say I, it's your totality. And when you say I want, your foot wants it just as much as your head does. Even though you might not think there's anything going on over there, but it's a whole soul experience every time you get your wants are fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yeah. So, the... So it says, though we call them worlds, but they're not really worlds like the outer chambers of Atzilus, from which we have Klippa sitting there, as we talked about last week. And you can call it a something. It's sort of similar to like the neshama of an angel. We're talking about angels being, and I know, it's like, give me an example from something higher, please. When we're talking about neshamas, and we're talking about all the different levels we talked about in Bria and Yetzirah, so that's talking about the angel as it's manifest when it is a working, functioning organism, or algorithm, as the case may be. That's its body. The vitality which is enlivening the body of the malach is coming from, he says over here, the ratzon of Hashem.
Ratzon, yeah.
Okay, but he's still going to say it's not really a something, but it's not really a nothing either. And he says it's also, again, the product of Zivug Neshikim, the kissing business we talked about last week. And we could call it worlds compared to something which isn't a world. Why is it that this level is called worlds? Compared to what Tzilus, it's no world. But compared to what's higher than it, it is a world.
Sure, of course.
Okay, so comparably speaking, just like we say, is Atzilus, we call infinite, we call Atzilus Bligvul. We say Atzilus is no limit, no limits, but we can define it as having 10 spheres. Yeah. So does that mean it has no limits? It's got limits, but compared to limits, it's not really limits.
Right.
So that's going to be always the way it is in the whole creation process, that this level compared to what's below it is considered infinite. Compared to what's above it is going to be considered limited.
Right.
So, and that doesn't really bother us. Okay, and that's all based on the Gemara in the second chapter of Chagiga, when it talks about the size of the world and the size of the Chayas HaKadosh compared to the size of the Malach, the Srafin compared to the size of the Malach Yasharis, and every level that you go up, it says, oh, and this level, all these levels are like nothing compared to this one level. And you go up to the next level, and all those levels till now up to this level are also considered like nothing. You go up another level, so all those levels plus those two that we just mentioned are considered nothing compared to this level.
Right.
Because every level implies another expression, a lower expression of conscious on the part of godliness. And so therefore, at this level, so it's now in a concrete standing compared to what was before it. Because before, it was amorphous compared to what's doing right now at this lower level. Because every step, you're getting it more and more concrete.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you're getting it more and more concrete, it's becoming less infinite.
It's easier to think that we're going down than going up. I can't.
Okay.
Going up, it's hard to go take away the concrete.
That's because when we're going down, we can't have a final point. Here we are.
Yeah.
Going up, you just keep going.
To further things.
Understood.
Things we don't know how to relate to.
Yeah. That's all parenthetical, by the way. So this goes back to before the parenthesis. So he says, so you have the 10 spheres of Atzilus. And for all intents and purposes, they're infinite. But he said previously, they're compared to an Orient Sof, they're finite. They're not mamash elokus. We said the definition is brought down in the Sefer HaBohir is there's eser spheres bli ma ve'ein lehem mahus. They're 10 spheres. They have no substance, and they have no existence. There's nothing there. There's no tangibility there.
Right.
Yet there's 10 of them, which that defines them.
They just have definition.
I have a trouble with
How do we know it? Existence meaning that you could draw a picture of it, you could describe it even it. You could even describe it. Describe to me what infinite compassion is.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Just want to understand what we meant by existence. So
right.
Not to frame that.
So it doesn't, comparably speaking. Okay.
Thank you.
They don't, okay, so even with that, they do not have the ability to create a something from nothing. Why? Because they're a something already.
They're created.
They can't create a something from nothing because they're not a nothing. They're a something.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah, they're a creation.
There's some kind of bad joke There was some kind of bad joke that was floating around the internet about scientists challenging God and saying we could do what God wants, we can do creations. The God says, okay, you're on hotshot. He says, what do you want to create? He says, I'm going to make man. Okay, so he says, fine, go ahead, let's see. So he says, well, first I'm going to take some of this dirt. So God says, nuh-uh, make your own dirt.
Get your own dirt, right? Yeah.
Okay, so. So they're already something. Shebehemaluba shakav meor ain't sof shor orhuka ain't amar. That in them, okay, so what infinite qualities do they have? Well, they happen to be vehicles, even in a revealed way. It says in Eitz Chaim that the kav is mistayim in malchus of Atzilus. We talked about last week that the beginning of the creation process is you have the Chol HaRishon, or the Igal HaGadol, which is created a void of Hashem's infinite revelation, which created then finiteness. And introduced into that was the Kav, which is a measured amount of the infiniteness. And that Kav, nothing wrong with dealing with
a measured amount of infinite.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it.
Okay. I'm good with that, yeah.
Anyway, so that Kav extends all the way to Malchus of Atzilus. Directly. You could identify it. If you knew what it looked like, that's the Kav. You could see that. Then it says it's Bekeas Aparsa V'nichnas Labia. It breaks through the separation between Atzilus and Bria, and then it becomes the Neshama of all the lower worlds. But at that point, you can't call it the Kav anymore. Because once you have now something which identifies itself as its own existence, so it can't be infinite at all. So there's no infinity in Bria already, in the world of creation. So the Kav, okay, it's a Kav, and you could say qualitatively, it maintains its integrity all the way down to the physical world. That even a hydrogen atom has in it this infinite quality to it. One simple hydrogen atom, okay, a proton and an electron, and has infinite qualities because the godliness that's enlivening that. Okay, but how big is a hydrogen atom? I mean, it's the smallest thing in our creation.
Atomic unit. It's my atomic unit.
Yep.
Wait. One.
Okay. And the vitality which is enlivening it. So how do things stay alive? How does your neshama work? How big is your neshama? Your neshama also happens to be infinite. And why is that? It's because he says it's Me'enamar. Me'enamar means similar to the illuminary, which, just to complicate what that means, as a way of explanation.
Oh.
As the yes. As the godliness comes down into this world, yeah. It maintains its integrity.
Right.
It doesn't change what it is. Like the electricity spinning off the nuclear reactor that eventually winds up in your cell phone at 6 volts. Is essentially the same electricity.
True.
So the godliness is coming down into this physical limited world is essentially the same godliness as the infiniteness of the Kav. It's just that it had to go through this whole process here. That's what it means, Ke'enamar. V'huma husavats musa shel hamaitzel baruch hu. And it is the very essence and being of the emanator. It didn't change. Godliness is godliness. If godliness is anything else, it's not godliness.
Right.
It has to maintain that intrinsic godly quality to be called godliness. Just the word itself, the word godliness is rooted in the word God. If it doesn't have if you can't see the God in it, it's not godliness. That what is Hashem? Hashem is his essence. Hashem is what he is.
Mm.
And that's the only way we can define Hashem. And by the way, that's the only way we can define godliness as well. Also, even though it's stepped down, it's diminuted, it's demoted, it's less. All we can say it is what it is.
The original cause.
It's its essence. The Eina Olam Eiza Ilah Shekad Malachas Hashalom, and nothing causes it.
Right.
Lachin Hu Levado Bechech V'Yuchalta Levara Yesh Ma'ayin Ve'Efes Hamuchlet Mamish. Therefore, it alone, meaning the infiniteness of Hashem, before it's been processed, is the only thing which has, I can't say the word thing, is the only entity which can create a something from absolute and total nothing mamish. Now, if you notice over there, he said there's a lot of words after the word yesh. Usually you just say the word yesh ma'ayin. But he has yesh ma'ayin, the ephes, hamochlet, mamish. Each one of those, there's four terms, correspond to each of the four to the four worlds.
Right. Okay.
Okay? Ma'ayin refers to Atzilus, ephes is bria, muchlet is, which means totally and completely. And that's written Yetzirah, and then Mamash means absolutely. That's this world, this physical world. So even in all levels, he alone has the ability of, Hashem has the ability of creating something physical. Without any other help, without any other form, without any other prefacing to it, this is where, that's the starting point. And in order for this thing to take on characteristics and to be limited, so the godliness, the infiniteness, has to enclose itself into the 10 spheres of Atzilus. The 10 spheres of Atzilus now become the axe in the hand of the woodchopper, it's called in the Zohar.
Yeah.
Okay? When you say, you have a big pile of firewood sitting in front of your house.
Yeah.
And somebody says, you must have a very fine axe that chopped all that wood. I'm like, yold. What do you mean? It's my shoulders that are very good to chop all that wood.
Yes.
Okay, the axe is just a tool.
Right.
Mm. Okay, it's true. Okay, maybe if I knew karate good enough, I could chop all that wood up into little pieces. Yeah. But the power behind it is not the axe. The power is the person. So the world of Atzilus now becomes simply an axe for Hashem to be used as a tool for making the rest of the creation. Hashem is totally and absolutely united with the 10 spheres. So much so as Hashem united with, and this is why we started this whole thing, is that this whole letter is, it all becomes one and one the same, such that if a person is using a tool, a person using a tool properly, the way I was taught in shop class, even though I never could get it right, was that a person using a tool properly, it actually becomes an extension of them.
Correct.
You ever heard such a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It becomes an extension of them.
Them, right.
So the 10 spheres of Atzilus are an extension of Hashem.
Right.
Is the axe really this person? No. But the energy which is being transferred from the person's body into the axe head, it's the person.
Mm.
So you could say that, someone could say, I chopped this wood. I said, what are you talking about? The axe chopped the wood. No. I chopped the wood.
Right.
Because the energy was transferred into the head of the axe, and it's united totally and completely with me, even though it's just an axe head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the 10 spheres of Atzilus are totally and completely united with Hashem in the same way. Ah, you want to say that this is Chachma, and this is Bina, and this is Chesed, and Gevurah, and you get all kinds of names on it, and they each have different functions, and according to the Kabbalah, they each have a different name that you can't erase. Which means that there's a whole purpose of a name is how to be, how does it relate to outside of it, and they're all relating different ways.
Right.
So it's, they're all completely united with Hashem. They are extensions of Hashem. And through these 10 spheres, and specifically because they are limited, okay, what's going to happen? You're going to have an axe that doesn't have a head on it. You're going to bang the thing against the tree. It's not going to do anything. Okay, you need to have a specific tool to get to the next step.
Right.
Okay, so in order for you to get to Bria, you need an Atzilus. And that Atzilus is that extension of Hashem, and it's totally, completely united with Him. And because of that, now we can create things which are limited, because you'd say it's because Atzilus has limitations, in the fact that there's only 10 spheres, not 11, that it can relate to something which really has limitations.
Mm.
Okay, as you could think, and just trying to fit it into the analogy, there has to be a relationship between that the axe blade and the wood in order for the axe blade to be able to cut the wood into pieces.
Yes.
Because if you say, if you took that axe blade and had like stones,
right,
it wouldn't exactly work so good.
Not so pretty good.
Because there's no relationship one to the other. Okay, so this, there has to be, because what happens now, as you know, the way you chop wood with the proper technique, is the energy which is coming out of your shoulder, your back, your hips, whatever, however you're putting it in, is now going into the axe, but from the axe, it goes into the wood. There's an energy transfer from the axe head to the wood. That's the next step, so that you get this piece that breaks.
Right.
That's why you have to hold the log in a specific way so that it breaks a certain specific way, because you want the energy to be directed into the log in a specific way so that it comes out in the proper shape that you want it to. Excuse me. That happens. Where do we see that Hashem is creating something which is limited and is united with it in its limited state? Is in the lower worlds of creation, formation, and action. But you should know. That was clear till now. That's it. According to the Alter Rebbe, it's all clear.
Sure.
Okay? We're good. Now we can go to the next problem. We have to make known that the real creative aspect of Hashem, that something can wind up recognizing its own existence as being apart from Hashem, that's an expression specifically of Malchus of Atzilus, Shenasa Atik Libriya, as Malchus of Atzilus relates to the next world. We talked about this 2 times ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That as Malchus relates to Atzilus, it's Malchus. But as Malchus relates to Bria, so now it becomes Atik. It becomes the Rutzen for the next level. Okay? So you have a whole creation process from the infiniteness of Hashem and Hashem's true infinity to down to the bottom of Atzilus is a whole infinity going on of different levels. But that which we call creator is specifically Malchus. That's why all of the names which correspond to Hashem as creator are all feminine. Shechina, Ema Tata, the lower mother, Adonai is Malchus. Adonai is masculine, but that's because, you know, people's mothers are usually in charge. You know, don't argue with your mother.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to help. You can't argue with your mother.
Yeah.
She's the boss.
Exactly.
What are the other names? Matronisa Adonai. Malchus is feminine. Other names I can't think about it, but they're all feminine. Because that is the creative aspect of Hashem.
Right.
I refer to it, you know, it's referred to in the books as the feminine aspect of the creator. Because it's the creator, it's what's making.
Right.
Okay, and he says, so he brings in the Adnus part of it. Kien Malach below Am. Because it's only specifically through Malchus. The point he wants to make over here is Malchus is a level of kingdom, a kingship. And Malchus is only Malchus if they're separated from the subject. Ein Melech below Am. A king can only be a king if he has a nation.
Right.
Nation implies separation. Right. Over his own household and his slaves and his ministers, he's not a king. There's too much familiarity. There has to be the separation between the king in order for him to be a king.
Right.
And all of the different creatures that are created throughout the spectrum of creation, their differences, that was created by the infinite power of Hashem, they're all totally and completely united with Hashem, though regardless of how low it is, it could even be a rock stuck at the bottom of the ocean, is totally and completely united with his life source, which are the letters of Hashem's speech, which is talked about at great length in the first 6 chapters of Shar Yechid V'Amona.
Right.
The cult of Hashem, Hain, Mehe Gavuris Denukva. And the 5 articulates of speech that we have are an expression of the Hei Gevuris of Malchus. That's another expression, Nukva. Nukva means feminine. Nukva means Malchus.
Right.
The Hei Gevuris of Malchus are you have in Malchus, you have 10 spheres. And it just so happens that each of those 10 spheres have 10 spheres.
Right.
So the Gevura of Keser of Malchus, the Gevura of Das of Malchus, the Gevura of Tiferes of Malchus, the Gevura of Yisoid of Malchus, and the Gevura of Malchus are defined as the five Gevuras of Malchus.
Okay.
Five Gevuras, when you see the word five Gevuras, it means the Gevura of the middle path, the middle Kav, of Keser, Das, Tiferes, Yisoid, and Malchus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he says over here, so now the ability to create through speech is through, we know these things called the five articulates, which define the letters. As you talk back in Shar Yechud V'Amunah. Okay, boomf from the lips, and gichik from the throat, etc., dafkatats from the teeth, etc., etc., etc. Those five articulates are used, and we explain this when we were talking about this in Shar Yechud V'Amunah, to break up the air which is coming out of a person's mouth.
Right.
It starts out, the person takes a breath and he says an H. And the H is turned, it hits the vocal cords and turns into a kamitz, or a patach, an ah. And then the ah is broken up according to how you're moving your lips as to what specific sound from the 22 different letters it's going to make. The ability to move one's mouth is an expression, extension of gevura. Why gevura? Well, just to make a fist, just to close a muscle, to contract a muscle, to move implies gevura.
Yeah, it's limiting. Right.
So to move your mouth in a specific way, to hold your mouth in a certain set form, is an expression of limitation. It's an expression of gevura.
Right.
And that, since it relates to us, so even as it's Malchus of Atzilus, coming now is Atik of Bria, still sounds very high. So we call it the revealed world. Because we can say, well, what is life? And we'll very easily define life as God.
Right.
And how could that be? That we can recognize it. Oh, because that's God as it's already been processed to fit into our realm of creation.
Hmm.
That's it, because with it you have an ability to create from something or nothing. You see this, where do you see this best? In dirt. There's nothing, we talk about dirt. There's nothing lower than dirt. It's the lowest life form. You can't turn dirt into anything, it just, except mud. But the
plants in it.
But as soon as you put something in it, it grows.
Right.
Stick a seed into the ground. And the infinite power of growth which is in the ground is going to cause that seed to grow.
Right.
Where's that infinite power coming from? It's coming direct from Malchus of Atzilus. That is Malchus of Atzilus, is the power of growth in dirt. It doesn't get any lower than that, but it's a tremendous power. Power means you can't draw a picture of it. Could you draw a picture of growth, the power of growth? No, you can't. But it's definitely there, because if you stick this same seed in sand or ground glass or rubber pellets, or into a tree, it's not going to grow. Even if you cut a little hole in a tree and stick the seed into it, cover it over, it's not going to grow. Because even though the tree itself is growing, but the tree is growing from the ground, the tree's not growing by itself. It doesn't have the power of growth. It grows because it's connected to the ground. Okay, so the godliness has to can go through the whole process, and until it finally comes down there to such a low level like dirt. So we say that Malchus is called Alma Disgalia. You can see this thing. It's a wonderful thing. You put seeds in the ground, and 2 weeks later you get a radish. Provided that you planted a radish, not a Brussels sprout. We're not going to go there. Okay. And it's not going through. The power of growth is an expression of Shem's infiniteness. Mm-hmm. How many different types of plants can you grow on one piece of ground?
Only all of them.
And all of them, exactly.
Only all of them.
Okay, and if there would be more, you could grow those too.
Right, exactly.
Okay, now, it's an interesting thing the way it's described. I believe it's a Medrash, maybe it's a Gemara, that Shlomo Amalch, and before Shlomo Amalch, I think he learned it from the Yevusim, from the Jebusites, that he had the ability of tasting the dirt
right.
and tell you what could grow
what
there.
What could grow there?
Best,
correct.
Okay, because the whatever, maybe it was the mineral content, the nature of the soil, whatever it was, the minerals, the composition of it,
right.
whatever it happened to be. Because if you plant a radish, and next to it, you plant a Brussels sprout, so what's going to happen is the power of growth of radishes is going to affect the radish seed, and the power of growth of Brussels sprouts is going to affect the Brussels sprouts. It's not that there's a power of growth. It's very specific to that specific seed. That's why in some dirts, things grow better than others because it has a greater potential to grow in that type of a soil.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
V'yesh ma'ayin shalai de'ilu va'alu avol tes yuris ha'rishaynis netzel mihistalshos ilu va'alu. This is like a dichotomy over here. Malchus is a direct expression of the infiniteness of Hashem. The previous 10 spheres, previous 9 spheres, no, they're not. But they're higher. They're just the setup men.
They were created by the Malchus of the Spirit of Earth.
That's for sure. So is the Malchus of this world.
But
their whole purpose, why does Chochma of Atzilus exist, is for Malchus of Atzilus. And why does Bina of Atzilus exist, is for Malchus of Atzilus. They're just the ones that are setting up Malchus.
Right.
Malchus is the reason why the world is there.
Yes.
To get to the details of what this world is okay, so we need to have this.
Right.
Just like it is with our own persona. What are we created for is a certain productivity. Now, in order to achieve that productivity, you have to be born, you have to grow, you have to go to school, you have to be taught, and then you get through all this. You have to wake up in the morning and eat breakfast and get dressed and get out, and then finally, you reach your productivity. Okay? So what was all this other stuff? Was it a waste of time? No, because you wouldn't be able to do this that you're supposed to be doing wasn't with all that. So it's the same thing also with Malchus of Atzilus.
Right.
Malchus of Atzilus is what it's for.
Right.
The other previous 9, they just had to get to Malchus.
Right.
From before Atzilus to Malchus. That's all they're there for.
And without them, nothing happens.
Right. Okay, and ultimately, the whole creation is for this world.
Right.
And that says it clearly in the Zohar, right in the beginning, that Hashem didn't create the world for Atzilus because Atzilus is an embarrassment for Hashem. Meaning that's all you get is just an Atzilus.
Yeah.
The essence of Hashem is not found in Atzilus. It's just a revelation. The essence of Hashem is found in this world, which is really wants to get to. Bottom line, what he wants to get to is, if you want godliness, don't worry about Atzilus, because that's just godliness.
Yeah.
In this physical world, we have God. Because this is the whole reason why the world was created. The infiniteness of Hashem is found in this physical world.
Right. Here's where we're playing marbles for keeps.
Okay. The infiniteness of Hashem truly finds itself in Chochma of Atzilus, because that's the definition of Chochma of Atzilus. It's a power of a potential which is by definition infinite, but it's only there just to convey infinity to the next level. Chochma by itself doesn't do anything. I got lots of potential. Yeah, so this is what it means when it says that the beginning is implanted in the end. Very simple. When you start doing something, why are you doing it? You didn't do something to start it. You started it for the end result. And the end result is why it's there. The whole process is for what? You're not doing it for any of the stages from the beginning till almost the end. You're doing it specifically for the end. Nobody makes cake batter to have cake batter, unless you sell cake batter for a living.
Yeah, well,
no, because cake batter just isn't doing it.
Right.
Okay? But make me a cake without cake batter. Not gonna happen. Okay? But the whole reason why I'm even starting and even thinking about baking a cake is for that thing coming out of the oven. Okay, that was my impetus. My thinking, boy, I would really like a piece of cake, is the reason why that thing is coming out of the oven.
Right.
Okay, that is the final result of my beginning.
Right.
Because Atzilus is an intermediary. It's an intermediary step in the creation. And it connects the emanator to the emanated, the rest of creation. So therefore it has to have infinite qualities as well, because any intermediary has to possess qualities of the two things that it's mediating between,
yes.
Okay, so since it's connecting the infinite to Hashem, to the limitedness of the world, so it has to have infinite qualities as well to be able to relate to the infiniteness of Hashem. Vachenikra Keser Malchus. That's why the sphere of Keser is called Keser Malchus, which we can translate as a royal crown. But they're both nouns. It's Keser and it's Malchus. Because it's the desire for there to be a creation, and in it contains everything which is needed to make that desire come to fruition. Okay? So that this person, for example, when they have this desire for this cake, well, they now have to go through the process. Well, what do I do to get the cake? The potential. Oh, cookbook.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the chachma.
Yeah.
Okay? To grow the wheat.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then after I get out the cookbook, and I have to open up to the index and look for the right cake recipe.
Yes.
And then I have to really understand and relate to that right. cake recipe. Oh,
right.
Separate two eggs. You know, the
What's
line
an egg?
The line from the Three Stooges. That's far enough.
Do you have to do mimicry?
Oh, thank you.
I do.
I did.
It's quarter after. But anyway, that's a good place to start. Next page. Look at the Keser Malchus Ki and Keser Ella Lamelech. Because where does the Keser go? Crowns. Only kings wear crowns.
Yeah.
The Gamki Bechinas Achoron the Ainsif Hu Malchus the Ainsif. The creative aspect of the infiniteness of Hashem is called Malchus of Ainsif. Anytime you're going to have a relationship to something outside of it, to be able to bring it into existence, we're going to call that Malchus.
Right.
It's also called Shechina. The Rebbe's first mind where he talks about Iker Shechina betachtanim haisa. When God first created the world, quoting the Zohar, the main divine presence was found down here. And the first mind of the Rebbe talks about, what does it mean, the main divine presence? And he defines the main divine presence as starting from Malchus of Ein Sof and coming all the way down to that which is manifested, Malchus of Asiya, down in this world. Is the main Shechina.
Right.
Okay. Malchus Atzilus Nigra Keser B'Mata L'Mayla U'Magam. That's a good place. That's in the question now. So we are going to stop five lines from the bottom. U'Magam. In the English, this is referred to as it's before that. Consequently, from below upwards, the Malchus of Atzilus is called Keser, and especially since through is where we're stopping in the English, and this is on page 260. To be continued.
Thank you.
I will be...